to The Southern Bruja, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to reviewing horror novels new and old, Latinx folklore, and a dash of all things Southern and weird. I'm your host, Melanie. So I've had quite a few people say that they like the podcast but don't like horror novels. Quite frankly, that makes me a little sad. I think there's a misconception about what makes horror horror and leads a lot of people to stay away from the genre. There's also that feeling of gatekeeping where a person feels like because they don't enjoy bloody or extreme stories that are available in the subgenre, they can't consider themselves a fan of the horror genre. Horror is, in my opinion, one of the most diverse genres of writing that exists, and I truly believe there is a horror novel for every type of reader. Horror isn't just blood and guts and possession, though if you like that, that definitely exists. So, what makes a horror novel a horror novel? At its core, a good horror story taps into human emotions, mainly that of fear or disbelief, by taking the ordinary and mixing it with something surprising, unnatural, or just kind of conjuring up a feeling of foreboding. For me, what makes a good horror novel is the emotional journey that the author takes a reader on, and that applies whether it's a slasher novel, a supernatural story, or psychological horror. The strength of horror really lies in emotion. Everyone in this world is afraid of something, and if they tell you otherwise, they are lying. So, as we move into October and the focus tends to shift to all things spooky, I wanted to recommend a few books that I believe will turn even the most skeptical reader into a fan of horror. Now, keep in mind, reading is a uniquely personal experience, and what scares me may not scare you, but I tried to pick a group of stories that contain what I consider the elements of a good horror novel and would serve as an intro to the genre, with minimal to no gore or blood. So let's get to it. The first book I wanted to cover is actually a children's book by author Neil Gaiman called The Graveyard Book. Nobody Owens, known as Bod, is a normal boy. He would be completely normal if he didn't live in a graveyard, being raised by ghosts, with a guardian who belongs to neither the world of the living nor of the dead. There are adventures in the graveyard for a boy, an ancient indigo man, and a gateway to an abandoned city of ghouls. But if Bod leaves the graveyard, he will be in danger from the man Jack, who has already killed Bod's family. I really like this story because each chapter of this book kind of has its own little vignette of different experiences in the boy's life, and I consider this a type of gateway book to the horror genre. Now, while this is considered children or young adult, I actually didn't read this until a few years ago, and I absolutely loved it, and I think you will too. The second book I wanted to recommend is considered a classic. It was published in 1961, and it's Shirley Jackson's We Have Always Lived in the Castle. Taking readers deep into a labyrinth of dark neurosis, We Have Always Lived in the Castle is a deliciously unsettling novel about a perverse, isolated, and possibly murderous family and the struggle that ensues when a cousin arrives at their estate. I really recommend this book highly because Shirley Jackson's writing is the perfect example of the type of horror that can really get under your skin and make you think twice about the people that you are surrounded by on a daily basis without the use of jump scares or blood or gore. I really like this novel also because it really demonstrates Shirley Jackson's ability to take something that is horrible and sometimes bordering hilarious and turn it into something incredibly unsettling. I highly recommend all of Shirley Jackson's works, but We Have Always Lived in the Castle is really something special, and I think you'll really like this. The third book I wanted to recommend is called The Deep by Alma Katsu. Someone or something is haunting the ship. Between mysterious disappearances and sudden deaths, the guests of the Titanic have found themselves suspended in an eerie, unsettling twilight zone from the moment they set sail. Several of them, including Maid Annie Hebley, guest Mark Fletcher, and millionaires Madeline Astor and Benjamin Guggenheim, are convinced there's something sinister, almost otherworldly, afoot. But before they can locate the source of the danger, as the world knows, disaster strikes. Years later, Annie, having survived that fateful night, has attempted to put her life back together. Working as a nurse on the sixth voyage of the Titanic sister ship, the Britannic, newly refitted as a hospital ship, she happens across an unconscious Mark, now a soldier fighting in World War I. At first, Annie is thrilled and relieved to learn that he too survived the sinking. But soon, Mark's presence awakens deep buried feelings and secrets, forcing her to reckon with the demons of her past, as they both discover that terror may not yet be over. Brilliantly combining the supernatural with the height of historical disaster, The Deep is an exploration of love and destiny, desire and innocence, and above all, a quest to understand how our choices can lead us toward our doom. So Amakatsu is really an author that takes historical tragedies and then adds a supernatural element to them and kind of gives this new fresh take on these very well-known stories. I think anyone that has an interest in sea disasters or the Titanic especially would really enjoy this book. It is beautifully written and researched. There is not a stone left unturned. And overall, I can't recommend this enough, especially if you have an interest in this time period or an interest in learning more about the Titanic and the people that were actually on the ship. Amakatsu also adds a few fictional characters to kind of up the ante on the supernatural elements that she adds to the story. But I think that they really do add to the story and don't subtract from the emotional impact of the real life tragedies that occur. This is a great book and is handled with respect, and overall, I think you'll really enjoy this one. Quick tidbit, if you do enjoy The Deep, Amakatsu has another book that is called The Hunger, which is written about the Donner Party. If you enjoy The Deep and you want to dive a little bit farther into a bit of a darker slant on history, I can highly also recommend The Hunger, but that's much more of a bloody, creepy story, so we'll talk about that later. The last book I want to recommend is Home Before Dark by Riley Sager. 25 years ago, Maggie Holt and her parents moved into Bainbury Hall, a rambling Victorian estate in the Vermont woods. 3 weeks later, they fled in the dead of night, an ordeal her father recounted in a memoir called House of Horrors. His story of supernatural happenings and malevolent spirits became a worldwide phenomenon, rivaling the Amityville Horror in popularity and skepticism. Maggie was too young to remember any of the horrific events that supposedly took place, and as an adult, she doesn't believe a word of her father's claims. Ghosts, after all, don't exist. When she inherits Bainbury Hall after his death and returns to renovate the place and sell it, her homecoming is anything but warm. The locals aren't thrilled that their small town has been made infamous, and human characters with starring roles in House of Horrors are waiting in the shadows. Even more unnerving is Bainbury Hall itself, a place where unsettling whispers of the past lurk around every corner. And as Maggie starts to experience strange occurrences ripped from the pages of her father's book, the truth she uncovers about the house's dark history will change everything she believes. Highly recommend this book for anybody that is looking for something that has a supernatural feel to it, but may not actually be supernatural. Riley Sager is an author that tends to take real-world events, things that feel very real, and add kind of a creepy slant to them. And this novel kind of covers all of the bases of spooky season. It includes ghost stories, true crime, character studies in trauma and tragedy, and it's just a really, really fun, good read. It's definitely probably one of the scarier books that I've listed on this in the fact that it does have such a supernatural slant to part of the books. But I don't want to give too much away. I just highly recommend it if you're looking for something spooky, not necessarily scary, and a creepy atmosphere. I wanted to share a not-so-spooky story with you all that I heard about as a child. And it's the myth of the coqui. So the coqui is a tiny frog native to Puerto Rico that is known for its incredibly loud mating calls. There's a legend that says that there was a Taíno goddess who fell in love with a Taíno chief named Coqui. This goddess would transform herself into the body of a woman and visit the chief every night and watch over him when he hunted and fished for food. In exchange, the chief had an object called a zemi, and he would use this for both ritual and veneration to the goddess. And this zemi was said to impact many aspects of Taíno life, including the health, social standing, fertility, and ability to get food of an individual. So because of this chief Coqui's relationship with the goddess, everything he did was perfect. He would go hunting, come back with the best meat. He would go fishing, come back with the best fish. His offerings were basically all to the goddess who he loved. Another god, the god of destruction and chaos named Huracán, became very jealous of the love that was being showered onto Coqui and the veneration to this goddess's zemi. Huracán decided that he was going to steal Chief Coqui so that the goddess would never see him again. So one night, Huracán came to land, stole Coqui, and took him away from his lover. When the goddess came to visit her lover in the human form, she realized what had happened and that she was never going to see him again. The legend goes that the goddess was so horrified and so brokenhearted that she created these tiny little green and gold frogs to cry out her lost lover's name for all of eternity. And that's where we get the legend of the Koki. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram @_southern_bruja. Thanks for listening.